Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to continue to look at what the Apostle John taught about a genuine belief in God and a belief in the reality of sin. So let's open our Bibles and look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10 again together. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, on the last broadcast, we were studying the concept that John promotes in these six verses, and we saw that it is the responsibility and duty of the leaders of the church to identify those who are truly saved and those who are only deceived into thinking that they are saved. And we saw last time that we as leaders are held accountable by God if we do not warn the wicked to repent. If and when God's sure judgment against the unsaved comes, they will fall under God's wrath to be sure, but their blood will be upon our hands unless we are faithful to warn them. We also saw last time how that this carefree attitude about sin in the modern church that says that being deceived is a private issue that is between that person and God and is nobody else's business cannot be backed up with either scripture or church history. So we saw that the real question is not do church leaders have the duty and the responsibility to warn the wicked, because the Bible clearly teaches that we do. So the real issue is how do we identify people who are deceived into thinking that they are saved when they are actually lost? How do we do this in accord with Scripture? Well, in these six verses of 1 John, the Apostle gives us the answer to that question by presenting two crucial doctrinal tests to determine who in the church is genuine and who is not. And these two doctrinal tests are, number one, an accurate and biblical belief in the character and nature of God, and number two, a genuine belief in and biblical understanding of sin. So we need to look again at verse 5 to see what John is saying about this issue. John says in verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." Now, last time we were looking at this part of the verse that says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So I want to explore that statement by John again today. The Bible reveals two very fundamental principles about God being light. First of all, light represents truth and purity, while darkness represents lies or error or sin. And this has never been more clear than when we see God's word is called light over and over throughout the scriptures. And God's word is called light because no words are more true than the words that came from God. Look what David said about this in Psalm 119:105. "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." Psalm 119:130 says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." So we can see that both life and light are eternally connected to God and to his word. This is a principle that runs throughout all human existence. That which promotes darkness, that which is sinister, that which promotes wickedness and evil, that which feeds or encourages darknesses, is sinful and of the devil. That which is light, and that which brings forth light and purity and goodness, and is the opposite of darkness, is of God, and is wonderful. So there's a reason why bars and nightclubs are always dark. There's a reason why sin is accomplished more late at night than it is at noonday. There is a reason why every man of God in the Bible got up early in the morning to pray and study God's word. There is a reason why many of the video games that young children play today are sinister and encourage darkness and wickedness and violence. There is a reason why so many today want to wear dark clothes and paint their fingernails black and dye their hair black. This is not just simply youthful rebellion. This is evil, because their music and their games and their activities and their books and their conversations are all centered around the devil, and discerning parents should be faithful to teach their children that dwelling with darkness is not being cool, it is glamorizing sin and is dangerous. Secondly, the Bible also links light with great virtue and high morality. Look what Paul said about this in Ephesians 5:8-15. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to do what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. So these two properties of divine light, truth and virtue, are very important in distinguishing true faith from deception. If anyone professes to have faith in God, and since John says that God is light, then that individual must have a real and serious devotion to both truth and virtue, or that person's faith is just talk. So there is no such thing as being saved and being and acting and living in opposition to truth and virtue. Salvation is part of the God who is light. Therefore, no saved soul can dwell continually in darkness. Now, as I say that, please keep in mind that I'm not talking about sinless perfection here, and neither was John. But what John is telling us, and what we all have to agree with, is that every born-again believer will not and does not justify anything that promotes or celebrates darkness and deception. A truly saved soul will love and uphold and obey and defend divine truth and holy virtue, or else that person is really not saved. But Brother Blair, I know lots of people who have gone down front and who have prayed the prayer, and yet their lives still linger in darkness and lies, and are you saying that these precious souls are lost? No, because what I say really doesn't matter. The Apostle John is saying that these people who walk in darkness are lost, not me. The Holy Bible condemns them, not Blair. But questions like this show that we really don't believe what the Bible teaches about salvation, beloved, because going down front does not save anybody's soul in the first place. Praying a prayer hasn't saved a single soul. Shaking the preacher's hand, joining the church, raising your hand, being baptized, speaking in tongues, singing in the choir, none of that has the power to forgive a single sin or save a single soul. Unless there is genuine conversion, a sovereign regeneration of that individual, the nature of that person remains lost and fallen. And if the nature of that individual has not become regenerate or given life, then that person may temporarily modify his behavior, but eventually he will revert back to being what he really is, which is dead in trespasses and sins. Only by changing the nature of the beast can anyone be truly saved. And if that nature has not been changed by a sovereign act of God, he is lost. And if it has been changed, then the Bible, not Blair Bradley, but holy, inspired, inerrant, and infallible Scripture says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. So John says here that if truth and righteousness are absent from a person's life, it is because those people are not saved. And if they're not saved, then they're not in the family of God. And if they do not possess one of the attributes of the Father of the family, which is eternal life. Someone who lives continually in unrepented sin cannot belong to God, John says, because in the last part of verse 5, it says, in him, Jesus, in God, there is no darkness at all. For anyone to say they are in Christ and then for that same person to live as a normal function of his daily life in darkness is to say that Christ has darkness in himself. But John says here that clearly that God has no darkness at all. So anyone who is in God must by default live and function and operate and conduct his life in the light that God is, namely truth and righteousness. John says that Almighty God is perfect in both truth and righteousness. There's not one bit of darkness in God at all. He is total truth and total righteousness continually. And while it is true that we humans can and do sin, nevertheless, all saved people have the internal craving and desire to manifest this same righteousness in their own lives. And in addition to having the desire, all saved people also have the supernatural power or ability through the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of them to actually follow after God, to actually live in accordance with God's ways, and to literally put on the very image and likeness of Christ day by day as we grow in the grace that saved us. So without either the desire or the power present in our lives, John says that we must know that we are not born again. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It's a very important verse, and it says, "For it is God, all by himself, it is God alone, who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Now, do you see here that Paul says that it is God that works in all saved people to do two things? God gives every saved soul the will or the desire to do of God's good pleasure, and God gives every saved soul the power or the ability to do of God's good pleasure. Now, why is all this important? Because this is not just a lot of interesting information. No, this is vital to our walk with God and our understanding of genuine salvation, and here's why. Since it is true that every single soul that is saved has both the will and the power to do of God's good pleasure, then if somebody does not have this godly will, or if the desire to do of God's good pleasure, or if someone does not have this holy power or ability to do of God's good pleasure, then that is a sign that they are not saved, no matter how they prayed, no matter what religious activity they are involved in. John and all the other apostles taught that being saved is not just a matter of opinion. Being saved is a tangible, provable, and observable fact based on the miraculous transformation of that person's nature through a sovereign act of God. And so what John is telling us here in verse 5 is that because there is no darkness at all in God, then there cannot be any darkness and deception in us either that would dwell and operate through us on a continual and ongoing basis. And so the first tangible proof of genuine salvation that the Apostle John gives us here in verse 5 is the unarguable fact that everyone who is in Jesus Christ loves and desires and follows after and obeys and defends holy inspired truth and godly righteousness. And John says here that in addition to loving and desiring truth, we who are saved have the ability and the power to actually obey and live and manifest that truth and righteousness in our lives. So, examine yourself today, my friends, and see if your life is in alignment with what John says here. Because John is clear, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.